All right, it's the second half kickoff here for the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. It is
cold
outside.
That's all you got to say.
Yes, sir. Fact, we are still sitting at 23. Although in Athens, it feels like 17.
Let me tell you how cold it is, Dave. I wore pants below my knees for the second day in 2 days.
Yeah,
back
there you go.
Back-to-back days, I had to put on something besides shorts. That's when you know it's cold.
Now, we'll get up to 51 today, which is a little warmer than it was yesterday, and 52 tomorrow. All right, time to bring in our man, Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. Of course, one of the fine contributors as well, dognation.com. BA, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing well. You know, anytime you get a five-star quarterback committed to you, you got to feel pretty good. What were your thoughts on the Brock Vandegrift announcement?
Well, first of all, what I've seen of Brock Vandegrift as a player, admittedly on video, not in person, but on video, I really love it. I think he's a tremendous prospect. And I think for Georgia, you know, in kind of the post-Jake Fromm era, looking to, in some cases, maybe reinvent itself, or in some cases, maybe just kind of reboot its image. I think getting a big-time pledge from a guy like Vandegrift certainly gives you a chance to do that. I think we would all say that Georgia has been a very good program, but maybe slightly imbalanced. A little more defense than offense, a little more running the ball than throwing the ball. When you got a guy like Vandegrift, former Oklahoma commit, true five-star for the upcoming recruiting class, when a guy like that pledges to UGA, it certainly becomes very easy to imagine that those things that we've kind of envisioned of kind of a less fully formed Georgia reputation and image, those things may be about to change for the better, which I think for UGA fans ought to be considered really good news.
You know, the whole timeline of everything, last year he, you know, had committed to Oklahoma and then on New Year's Day decommitted, and now with Todd Monken coming in as the offensive coordinator, a lot of interesting things, you know, have gone down here with his commitment and playing close to home and everything. And Logan brought this up earlier. How much of a Pied Piper, though, does he now become for the class of 21?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think when you think about a lot of the offensive linemen that had close relationships with Georgia going back to the Sam Pittman era, and you know now they're kind of, you know, I guess reconsidering Georgia on the basis of Matt Luke being in place. I've already seen some of those guys like Terrence Ferguson, I think Amarius Mims, kind of tweet about this. So I think one of the first things that kind of notices a quarterback, maybe those big offensive linemen, Georgia needs to have a good offensive line class in 2021. And I've already seen some examples of those guys kind of making note of the Vandegrift announcement. So, thus far, it would seem to be working as planned.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. We carry every Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on the Ref.
B.A., I listened to you yesterday, and you and Connor had a good conversation about the Vandegrift commitment, and use a term that kind of... When you break it down, I think you called it an easy win or an easy recruitment on the trail when you get a local kid like this. Now, obviously, nothing's easy in the world of college football recruiting, but getting a local guy, I think, is a better way to put that. Georgia will, and as long as Kirby Smart's here, is going to recruit nationally. But how important is it, do you think, to kind of bring things back home from time to time and have one of these local kids, you know, eventually represent the flagship university within the state of Georgia?
So what I'm about to say is my own personal opinion, and I'll be readily glad to admit that not every Georgia fan who's listening to us right now will agree with me on this. I love Kirby Smart's aggressive approach to recruiting. I think that's a really good thing. However, I think from a strategic standpoint, it's really hard to have 25 contested recruitments each and every year. You know, you've heard it said you can't fight a war on two fronts. Sometimes in recruiting, Kirby has seemingly been comfortable kind of fighting a war on 25 different fronts, with this guy out of New Orleans, or that guy out of, you know, Knoxville, or this guy out of Columbia, or whatever else. And Georgia, to its credit, has won a lot of those battles. But I think over the course of time, I think it's important to kind of find a few that you don't have to be in a knockdown dragout all the way to the final bell on. I think that's just a good thing for a program like Georgia, and I think Vandegrift's kind of an example of that. you know, Georgia might could have stayed involved and gotten a guy like Caleb Williams, who I think is a really good player too. But in this case, why not wrap up your quarterback in early late January, whatever this is? Why not wrap up your quarterback now and put more resources in towards other positions? Why not do that? I think that's a better overall strategy for Georgia because, you know, we have seen a couple of these contested recruitments for out-of-state guys, high-profile situations where Georgia went down to the wire, probably took the silver medal in the recruitment, but ultimately you don't get anything for a silver medal in recruiting for finishing second, in other words. So I think that Vandegrift is a great player for Georgia, and I think focusing in on this in-state quarterback is also probably a good strategic move because it just leaves more time, resources, capital to go after other recruitments in the class of 2021 that could prove more difficult to win.
Don't you think, too, especially in this day and age of the portal, if you've got a guy from, you know, from Bogart and you got another guy from halfway across the country, I mean, me personally, I want to sign the guy from Bogart if they're both what you would consider equal because I think he's got deeper ties. He's less likely to transfer. Do you agree with that, too?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The Cade Mays situation, I think, is something that ought to spook you just a little bit because, you know, Mays, you know, kind of got out of Georgia and is going to try to claim a hardship situation now when, you know, he would have been a starter at Georgia in 2020. He was a starter at left tackle in the bowl game. If the only thing that Georgia was making him happy was the presence of Sam Pittman and maybe the presence of a couple of the other offensive linemen who he was friends with who are no longer going to be there anymore, then you kind of wonder, well, how strong was your bond with one of your, you know, important key players? And maybe that's an argument against going to Knoxville, Tennessee for a player. And I realize that's hindsight thinking. As I said before, maybe not a lot of Georgia fans will necessarily agree with that. But for a kid who is from Bogart, who, you know, very well, you know, could have friends and family listening to us right now, and he's right in, you know, the broadcast circle here, you know, for someone like that, it'd be nice to imagine that he would have a little more affection for the university itself, for the program, and have something that's a little bit more than a transactional relationship with Georgia. So
yep.
I'm not saying I want Georgia to have all its guys come from, you know, Clark Central High School or Jackson County High School or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. But when you have a few guys that really do have a closer, tighter bond than this is the position coach that can get me to the NFL, when the relationship runs deeper than that, I do think you have a chance to create something that has the potential of being special.
It just goes to, and you mentioned the Cade Mays situation with the transferring. When you commit to, say, a coach besides a school, those things are going to happen. I can't help but to think right now, who is it? The Arik Gilbert, who went to LSU, who strongly cited during his recruitment the relationship with Joe Brady is why he went to LSU. There are chances that you might see those guys, you know, going back toward home sooner or later. I mean, I'm not suggesting that's going to be the case with Mr. Gilbert, but, you know, when you commit to a coach, that's a risk you take these days.
Yeah, I guess I also kind of see this from the standpoint of the player, too, that as much as me on the outside looking in will say to a recruit, hey, you need to commit to the school and not to the coach, but the truth is, it is the coach who's at the forefront of that pitch to you about the school. So while I, you know, have some questions about how the Cade Mays situation played out, I guess there's a part of me that is at least a little bit empathic to Mays' situation and for Gilbert as well. When you see a guy like Brady doing what he's doing, when Ed Orgeron's telling you that he thinks that Brady's going to be there forever, I guess it's easy to believe adults when they tell you something when you are a high school senior. So I kind of understand it both ways. But ultimately, if you're Georgia, I do think that part of your player evaluation ought to be not the most important characteristic, not the end-all, be-all, but one line on your player evaluation is, how much does this guy love Georgia? How much does this guy care about Georgia? Is this the kind of person that's going to run from UGA the moment any adversity strikes? Because if that is the case, then I do think that would be a pretty important thing to be able to know as a part of a player evaluation process.
Yeah. B.A., speaking of adults, by the way, let's shift a little bit over to the coaching staff changes at Georgia. Now, Friday, we started to hear the buzz, just like everybody else, about the potential that this Todd Monken guy may end up on the Georgia staff. But I think we all were equally as surprised when that press release came out about 1:30 Friday that it said in big, bold letters underneath it, offensive coordinator. Now, as far as we know, James Coley's still with the program. Don't know what that's going to happen. But before we talk about what Todd Monken brings to Georgia, how impressed are you if you were with Kirby Smart making such a bold move after what was otherwise a lackluster offensive season?
Yeah, I'm very impressed by it. And I'll kind of give you my quick timeline on all of this. You know, about halfway through this season, and really it probably started a little bit during the Notre Dame game. It got a little bit better after the Tennessee game, and then just pretty rough there for a good little while. You know, my thought was this Georgia offense is just not working. And it's hard to know if this is Kirby Smart's failed philosophy, if James Coley's an ineffective offensive coordinator, if somehow Fromm has regressed of his own doing, if the receivers really are as bad as some people are saying they are. It was difficult to know, but it was pretty clear to me the offense was broken. And then over the course of time, when Georgia kind of got into its stretch run in November, started winning games, my thought was, I still have a suspicion that this offense is going to need fixing. But Kirby Smart's built up a track record. He's earned some trust here. You know, he's the guy in charge. He gets to be the decision maker. And so, you know, I think it's appropriate for Georgia fans to kind of let him do what he's going to do for this month. And, you know, by the end of the season, it was pretty obvious that Georgia just did not have enough offense to keep pace with the top teams in college football. But Kirby Smart, given the fact, as I said before, he's won the East 3 years in a row, was in the college football playoff just a couple of years ago, he could have stood pat and just kind of rested on his laurels. He chose not to do that. He chose to make an aggressive move. Now, there is some risk associated with that. When you put what has been good in jeopardy to go out and get what you haven't gotten, which is a national championship, there's obviously a chance that it swings the other way and Georgia offensively kind of, you know, regresses a bit. But the fact that Smart is willing to kind of put all that on the table and say, we are going to try to go out there and be as explosive as LSU was this past season, as Clemson was in 2018, as Alabama has been the last couple of years, because that's who we think we have to keep pace with, then I do think that says something really good about Kirby Smart, that at this stage of his development as a head coach, he's willing to relinquish, I guess, some control, because for a guy like Munkin, I think you'd have to do that, and move in the direction that, at least to my eyes, in the past, Smart's been hesitant to do. I think the transition that Georgia's gone through over the course of the last couple of weeks, I think it says something really good about Kirby Smart and his willingness to adapt to what's going to work in college football in 2020.
Do you think the addition of Buster Faulkner as an offensive coach will lead that we're expecting an opening, whether it's Coley leaving or whatever?
There is certainly plenty of, I think, just common sense reason to speculate on that. I guess, you know, I'm more comfortable just sort of letting it play out on its own, but I certainly understand why people would think for a guy like Faulkner. I think I even made a Citizen Show yesterday. I mean, he's got actually a pretty good resume, having been offensive coordinator at Southern Miss and put up some pretty good numbers before that at Arkansas State. By the time his career was done there, pretty good numbers. Offensive coordinator at Middle Tennessee State before that. The idea that he'd leave that kind of group of five coach on the rise to be simply an analyst at Georgia, that sort of strains the imagination. But, you know, I guess we'll all find out about this sooner rather than later. But it seems hard for me to imagine that a guy like Faulkner, who is, as I said before, kind of a coach with a pretty fast-growing, impressive resume, would decide, okay, I'm going to go to Georgia for an off-field capacity. That seems a little weird to me and seems unlikely, but I guess I'll let it play out and we'll just kind of see where it goes, you know, where it goes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you do with what we know on the outside, certainly we don't have all the inside stuff of what was going on in there, but, you know, the appearance is that you might have a disgruntled employee, one that's, you know, still making almost $1 million a year, but still there is that appearance, and not just football coaching, but in any business environment, that's not always the best thing to have. So, yeah, I know a lot of folks are, and like you just said, kind of interested to see how this is going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks like Georgia has moved on from James Coley. I mean, that is obviously the appearance of all of this. His title now belongs to Todd Munkin, I think, with good reason. I think that Munkin's got a better resume for play calling than James Coley does. That's an easy decision, I think, to make. And, you know, Buster Faulkner is kind of waiting in the wings here as a guy sort of way overqualified to be an analyst. With all of that said, it sort of looks like that James Coley is going to end up being the odd man out on all of this. And that doesn't mean he's not a good coach, but I do think he was not a good fit for UGA. You know, Coley's a really good recruiter, especially in the South Florida area, but, you know, that's more of a luxury. You know, Georgia's necessity right now is a better offense, one that can accumulate yards and score points. And I just don't know if Coley's, you know, equipped to do that right now at the same capacity that I believe that Todd Monken is. So this may be one of those situations where you don't part with James Coley because you think he has no value to the program. He's obviously got, I think, a good bit of value. But in terms of what Georgia needs most, there are people more equipped to bring that to the table. So if I had to guess, I would guess that that James Coley is going to end up being the odd man out here, despite the fact that Georgia made the announcement the other day that he's planning on returning. But it's fair to point out that it's total speculation on my part.
As far as what Todd Monken will bring to this offense, and another thing you said yesterday about Brock Vandegrift maybe down the road being the perfect fit for what Monken wants to do, but look more recent or closer in the 2020 season when Jamie Newman, we assume, will win this job and will get matched up with a new OC. I mean, how different are we going to see this Georgia offense? What are you expecting in 2020?
Yeah, I expect that, for someone like Monken, who's been a head coach before and as recently as 2 years ago was play calling for the Tampa Bay Bucs, he's not coming here to take a nibble off the apple.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's coming here to swing for the fences and get himself back in position for a big-time job again, whether it be, a true offensive coordinator where he gets a chance to call plays at the NFL level, something he did not have in 2019 in Cleveland. I think he's coming here to make a big name for himself back, which I say, that's great. I love upwardly mobile coaches. I love coaches who want to put themselves in a pool for a bigger and better job. I want to harness that motivation and channel that and utilize that for the program here. So I think the Monken's coming to Georgia to dial up a bunch of plays, score a bunch of touchdowns, and then toss his resume in the direction of a college program to be a head coach or an NFL program looking for an offensive coordinator position, something like that. I think that Georgia needs to ride that wave while it can. And so I'm hopeful that while I still want to see Georgia run the ball and I still want to see, all those things that have kind of made Georgia great in the past, I hope that we see dynamic, aggressive, deep shots down the field from the word go. I hope that Georgia throws an onslaught of that stuff at Alabama in September on the road. I hope that, maybe unfair to say that Monken's going to be Georgia's version of Joe Brady because, Brady may very well be a true prodigy in that sense. But in terms of having the gravitas to usher in an evolution, that's what I hope that that Monken's able to do. And if at the end of the year Georgia's averaging, X number of points a game, I'd be more than happy to shake Monken's hand and say, thanks for your year of service, go knock him dead in the NFL again. I'd be more than happy to do that for him if he can be the catalyst that brings the change that I think that most of us would agree that Georgia probably needs.
Hey, one more thing before we let you go. Logan had mentioned Broderick Jones now has a visit to Illinois. Is that right? I mean, is that kind of weird or what?
Is that right? I hadn't heard that. That's
okay. Is that right, Logan?
I read a headline somewhere where he's making a visit this weekend to what I think was Illinois.
Okay.
So
here's my thing. Here's my thing on all of this. I am very, very consistent. While Jeff Sintel, my good friend and colleague, will tell you that Jones is coming to Georgia. Jones is coming to Georgia. He's got no indication otherwise. Same thing for Cedric Von Braun as well. For all of these guys who remained unsigned, whether it be South Carolina's defensive lineman like Alex Huntley and Jordan Burch, Georgia's offensive lineman like Broderick Jones and Cedric Von Braun, I guess even to a degree with Zach Evans to the extent that that's still a thing. As long as these guys kind of remain out there on the open market, there is a part of me that sort of says anything can happen. Now, do I think the Broderick Jones going to Illinois? I think one taste of an Illinois winner would probably dissuade him from that. But for someone like me who really believes that Georgia needs these offensive linemen, I will be very, very glad when that ink is on the letter of intent, especially for Jones, just given the fact that I think he has a pretty good chance of being a starter at some point for Georgia next season. I will be very glad as a Georgia fan, which I am, when Jones has that letter of intent signed. So, he visited Arkansas recently. I guess he's still got an Auburn visit coming up here. And ultimately, I'm guessing that Jeff Sintel probably ends up being right, and Jones comes to Georgia. But this will be one that I'll be very glad when the hay is finally in the barn on.
Yeah,
no
but I'm seeing this mainly from Illinois recruiting sites that are reporting that he'll be on campus this week. And again, not a concrete article anywhere, but that he will be there. But I'm with you, BA. I'll be very happy. What is it, February 5th, when Georgia tweets out that graphic that has that beautiful face of Broderick Jones right next to it. So I think we'll all rest easy once that happens.
Because we know what Georgia's doing in these situations. They're just chipping away. Yeah. They're checking in on guys. Hey, you want to take a visit? Hey, how's everything going? Mm-hmm. Is there still a chance to get on you? We know Georgia is doing that with other unsigned players, mm-hmm. so we should assume that other programs are doing that to Georgia's commits who are, to this point, unsigned. And ultimately, I think that both these offensive linemen have good reasons why they chose Georgia. But as long as that letter of intent is still unable to be signed, and until February it can't be, you should assume that a lot of these programs are trying to chip away at that foundation.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff, Brandon. Thank you very much. Look forward to hearing you later this morning and from noon to 1. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next week.
All right. Talk to y'all soon. See
Thanks,
guys.
B.A.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear every Monday through Friday from noon to 1 right here on The Ref.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.